Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I got a long story. I got a lot of God's appointments and God's touches that really changed my life. So we're going to be talking about that, but we're also going to be talking about Moses. You guys know who Moses was? Come on, you know who Moses was? There we go. Wake up, people, at 7 o'clock. You're off work. It's good. We got air conditioning. It's not hot. We're going to roll with it. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Exodus 3. Exodus 3 is where we're going to be. We're going to be starting there tonight. Let me ask you guys this. How many of you have kids? I don't have kids, but some days I feel like it. I don't, though. I have a dog. I yell at it, and it looks at me. I swear it thinks its name is Lucy. What are you eating? So that's about the amount. How many of you argue with your kids? Come on, it's okay. Put your hand. There's no shame in it. How many of you times does your kid win that argument? Put your hand down. Don't let them see it. I was thinking about Moses, and we're going to talk about divine appointments. This is my first point for you, is we cannot run from our appointments. And we're going to look at Moses, and as Moses has already left Egypt, and he's out, and he's wandering around, and he's trying to figure out what he's doing with his life and things, I really pictured probably like a 10-year-old kid arguing with their parents, and they get to this point where they're like, I'm not going to do it. Yes, you are. I'm not going to do it. Yes, you are. I'm not going to do it. And don't we tend to do that with God? God kind of tells us to do it, and you're like, no. How many of you ever won that argument with God before? We don't win. And Moses does this, and so we're going to look at Exodus 3, verse 11. We're going to start out here, and it says this, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And then again in verse 13, Moses says to God, suppose I go to Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is your name? And then what shall I tell them? We tend to look at God, and we can look at Moses, and we tend to run away from the appointments that God has put in our lives, the divine things. He gives us an opportunity maybe to share our faith. He gives us an opportunity to do something big. He brings a person in your life that needs to know about Christ, and we get to this point, and we're just like, nope, not ready. I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know God enough. I don't know my relationship. We tend to make all these excuses in the same way Moses goes on to say he doesn't know enough. And we go through experiences in life that we tend to try and run away from the appointments God was giving us. When I was in high school here at Faith, I loved playing baseball. I love the Rockies just as much. I think Scott a little bit more than I do. But I love the Rockies and I love baseball. And when I was here at Faith, I played baseball at Faith. In my junior year, I blew my knee out playing basketball against my prom date. She didn't beat me. It was 0-0. Happened in the first place. I don't think I got, there were rumors all over I got beat by a girl. Didn't happen. But I blew my knee out in high school, junior year. If you don't like gross stories, don't listen. But I jumped, and my kneecap, patella tendon snapped, and my muscles on the outside of my knee ripped, and my knee came apart, and my kneecap fell in. So when I landed, my knee came together and cracked my kneecap in half. And so I do this, and I'm like, oh, that doesn't feel good. And of course, my prom date, the loving person she is, goes, oh, that's just pain. Take some Advil. You're going to be fine. I'm like, no. This is more than an Advil pain. And I ended up blowing out my knee. I had to have my kneecap, it was cracked straight in half, so I had to have my kneecap stapled back together. I had to have my patella tendon replaced, and I had to have all my muscles on the outside of my knee rebuilt, so I had a full reconstruction. I have a huge scar on my knee now. But when that happened, I still loved baseball so much, and I was not willing to give in to the fact that I couldn't play anymore, so I rehabbed, and I kept working, and I kept working, and I came back my senior year, and for a lot of you, I don't know who you know, it was Ralph Nance was my baseball coach at that time. I love the man, but he scared the poop out of me because he was huge, and I was skinnier than I am now. I'm just saying. I was skinnier than Roger Funk. That's how skinny I was. I'm sorry. Is Roger here? I'm sorry, Roger. I didn't. I'll never forget my senior year. I'm like, I'm going to make the team. I'm going to make the team. I'm going to make the team. And he cut me, and I bawled. And I was like, that is exactly what I wanted to do. And I would not give in to the fact that God was telling me I had to go a different direction, had to go somewhere else in my life. And in Exodus 4, we're going to look in Exodus 4. If you guys will just flip over with me to Exodus 4, verse 1. Again, here God is still talking to Moses and still saying, I've got something for you. I want you to do something. In Exodus 1, it says, Moses answered again, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And they question, I question God. I was like, I'm not supposed to stop playing baseball. I'm supposed to be a pro. I'm supposed to go pro. I'm huge. I can hit the ball a long way. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I would not give in to that God was taking away something that I love to put me in a new direction. And through high school and through college, I was trying to play baseball. I was supposed to be this person. Then my sophomore year of high school, God just spoke to me and said, you need to coach high school baseball. And I was like, I'm not going to coach. Coaching is for those who can't play anymore, and I can still play. But then I also thought that's a really good opportunity for me to go and prove how good I really am against a bunch of freshmen. And I still live that dream to this day. But I had this dream I held on to, and I said, I'm supposed to still do this. And I would not listen to what God was telling me to do. And then finally I gave in. I was like, you know what, I'll start coaching. I started coaching baseball at Faith. And that was one of the divine appointments that God put in my life. As I was running so much to try and do the one thing I really, really wanted to do, that I wasn't paying attention to what God was actually trying to get me to do. And I was still trying to run away from my divine appointment. And again, down in just verse 10, if you look with verse 10 and 13 with me, it says, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in past nor since you have spoken to me, your servant. I am slow in speech and tongue. And then I love 13, but Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. I love that. How many of us are honest? When we know God is calling us to do something, we'll say, God, please send someone else. This isn't for me. I'm not supposed to tell my neighbor about Christ. The church is. I'm not supposed to extend my hand to someone at work. Someone else is. I'm not supposed to love on other people. Someone else is. I'm not supposed to give. Someone else. And we make these excuses and we continually go on. When God is appointing a divine moment for us to speak into someone's life, we tend to say, it's not mine. God, send someone else. This isn't what I'm supposed to do. This isn't what I'm supposed to be. And we tend to miss out on some opportunities in life. The second thing I thought about when I was looking at Moses' life is sometimes we have to take action to create the appointment. We have to take action in our faith. How many of you were sitting on your couch one day and Christ said, I'm the Savior, I live, you are free, and you accepted Christ while sitting on your couch? No one. Okay, just checking, because if so, I was going to be like, come, please come up, tell your story, I want to hear this. But we didn't go through life going, you know, I'm just going to sit on my couch. God's going to bring me the gospel. My life's going to be changed. And this is everything I'm going to do. And then I'm going to get church, you know, Wi-Fi'd into my house. It took action. It took someone telling us the gospel. It took us going to church and being involved. It took us serving in a church. It took us having friends. For me, when I was in high school, when I was in college, and I got into college and I started coaching, I had a best friend named Jeff Spahn. He's still my good friend. He lives out in Kansas City. And he knew a guy named Scott Applegate. Hey, you got a fan, brother. And I went and played basketball one day with Scott Applegate. And I dominated Scott Applegate. He has this one little trick move. He got me once ever with this. He gets down low and he puts the ball between his knees and he goes like that. But the ball's still stuck here. He got me to jump once. Never happened again. I'd hack him like a... Anyways. I started playing basketball with Scott. And at this time for my faith, I was not the greatest in my faith. I questioned God. I wasn't sure of God. I was unsure of if I believed there was a God. And Scott started taking me under his wing. And he would talk to me and mentor me. And then he, out of nowhere, was like, hey, we're starting this thing called Fusion, a young adults thing at Faith. Why don't you come and get involved and lead? And I'm like, you want me to lead? I don't know who Jesus is, and you want me to lead? So I came and I ran the projector, and I would do the words. And then I would help out. I knew how to play bass, so after a couple of years, I started playing bass. And then one day, I remember Scott came in and he goes, it's time for you, I want you to speak. And I was like, you want me to do what? I hate public speaking at that time. I hated it. I got nervous. I got what you call the clam hand. You know, you get the awesome sweaty hand, and you're in church, and Pastor George will be like, why don't you grab the hand of the person next to you? And you're like, okay. We'll hold hands. Don't think about it. You're sweating. Don't think about it. You're sweating. And I was terrified of what God was starting to do in my life. I knew he was taking my direction. I was working for Ralph Nance as the groundskeeper at the school. I was coaching high school baseball. I was working on my degree on criminal justice, criminology. I had a pretty good life, and I was headed in the right direction. And I don't mean to boast, but I turned down the Colorado Rockies. They asked me to come work at their field, and I said no. Just saying. All right? But I had, there's this time came when I had to take action. And in Exodus, we're going to flip over to Exodus 14. If you guys will flip with me to Exodus 14. This is something that Moses had to do to take action. A lot of times an appointment has to happen because we take action in our faith. And I can just picture Moses when God told him to do this, how crazy he must have felt when it says in verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back from with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land, and the waters were divided. I mean, for Moses to have that faith to stand there and just go, okay, I'm going to make the ocean or the sea split. Here we go, all night, gonna stand. That takes a lot of faith. That takes action to take faith, even just to lift your hand. To lift your hand in faith and say, something's going to happen because God has told me to do it. We miss divine appointments because we don't take action. One of the biggest divine appointments that's ever happened in your life is someone told you about Christ. Someone came to you and said, I love you. I want you to know who God is. And that person picked up and took action in that divine appointment. And for some of us, we are putting off the divine appointments. We have family members, we have friends, we have neighbors, we have people that we work with that we know we're supposed to share the gospel and love of Christ, but we won't do it because it takes action. And we've become lazy in our faith. And we have stepped back and said, even if it's as easy as lifting my hand, I won't do it because it takes action. People are going to know I'm a Christian. People are going to know my life's different. People are going to know I'm going to believe something. And we give in to what the world expects of us. And Moses right here, he didn't expect anything. I mean, you go back in scripture and the people are screaming and yelling, here they come, save us. What are you going to do, God? You took us out of this place. Save us. Why are you taking? I mean, they're a bunch of complainers. But Moses, out of faith, just took his hand and said, I'm going to do it all night long. Can you picture how tired his arm must have got? All night, I'd be like, okay, can we just put it on my knee? And I mean, he took faith and he held his arm up all night long to create a path for them to go through and to go on to something greater in their lives. For us, that right now in our lives, there are divine appointments, and some of you are already thinking about it, being like, I should be doing this, but I'm not. Man, take action. Take the faith of Moses and say, you know what, I'm going to move in a mighty way for God. I'm going to do something for him. I'm going to tell my neighbor about him. I'm going to invite him to church. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to pray for my family member. I'm going to pray for the healing of somebody. I'm going to pray for a miracle. I'm going to get involved and serve in church. I'm going to get involved and serve in the high school ministry. Meets 10 o'clock Sunday morning. I'm going to do something at this church to make a difference in someone's life because someone made a difference in mine. I don't sit in this room today because I just got lucky and someone went, boop, Jesus loves you. A divine appointment took action in your life that changed the course of everything that you're doing because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your life is a result of action taken in faith. And we got to be honoring to God to know that when action is given to us, we got to give back. We've already given our life to God. We already gave it. I mean, think of the deal we gave God. Here's my sin. You're going to give me glory. What kind of action is that? We gave away all the bad stuff to get the good stuff. And then we go, oh, you know, I can't give it away. I can't take action now. I might lose it. I can't lose it. All we can do is share it. All we can do is love. All we can do is give. All we can do is live faithfully for God and say, you know what, as our course of our life goes on, it's not going to make any sense. For me, my life did not make any sense. I got to my senior year, final semester of college. I was taking a class from a woman at the church at the school, and she was doing an amazing job. And she came to me, she goes, I'm on the board of the CU Law School. And I guarantee you, if you will let me write a letter, I'll get you in the law school and get you a scholarship. And I was like, cha-ching. And God said, no. And I was like, you're crazy. And he said, no. By the final semester of my senior year, I could tell in my heart I did not enjoy what I was doing anymore. And I got a degree, and I finished, and I went to actually Brian Wall, and I said, can I teach? Can I apply and teach here? And so I started teaching at Faith Christian High School and junior high. I was the junior high boys PE teacher. It was awesome. We played a lot of dodgeball. I dominated. It was great. And then I taught American government for juniors and seniors at the high school. It was awesome. They duct taped me to the wall one day. That's a whole nother story. We won't go there. That's why I'm not a teacher anymore. But while I was teaching, I was loving it, and I was feeling like this is the thing I'm supposed to do. And then I met a friend. His name was Jerry, and he was a worship leader, and he got a job at, in California at Dr. David Jeremiah's church leading worship. And he came to me, and he goes, you know what? They got this opening to be an inner-city youth pastor. You should totally do it. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm here. I'm doing this. I'm doing what God has asked me to do. I'm serving in a Christian school. I'm teaching kids about God. I'm doing all that I'm supposed to do. And all of a sudden, God again was like, no. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I took the job in California. And it wasn't even a job. It started out as an internship. I was 24 years old, making $500 a month before taxes in Southern California. I lived in missionary dorms, had no sink, no kitchen, had a bed, and that was it. And I did that for 6 months, and I was like, what am I doing here? And I started doing ministry, and I started to learn trial by fire on how to do things, and I did some things I look back now and go, that was the dumbest thing I ever did. I don't know how somebody didn't die in that situation. I don't do those things anymore, don't worry. And that's why we have waivers and things like that, so you have a kid, totally safe. But we always, next point I have to say is we don't always see the appointments of God until they've already happened. I did not know the path I was going to go on. And I go all the way back to when I blew out my knee, that was the start of something great to lead me into ministry. I don't think any of us look back when something happened and go, oh, God's totally going to use that for me to be at point X. We don't know where we're going. And Moses, he was the same way. When he was in Egypt and he killed the Egyptian, then he took off and he ran and he was wandering the wilderness and he sees this burning. I mean, when you see a burning bush, you don't think it's going to lead to you leading the Israelis out of captivity, does it? You're more like, there's a burning bush. What the heck? He never knew where his life was going to go. And for a lot of us, we can say now, through Jesus Christ, my life is no way it was or could have been by the way I was living before him. A lot of us have amazing testimonies that we said, if I didn't know Christ, I'd be dead or in a ditch. I know tons of people that have that story. But we didn't always know the appointments that were happening. Sometimes we miss out on the appointments of life because we start searching for them and go, God, what do you want from me? God, I don't know. God, what are you supposed to, God, what do you want? And we don't shut up and let God speak to our hearts. And we aren't silent to hear what he has to say. And God will go, you know what? I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, I want you to do this. But we're like, God, I know you want me to move to Hawaii. That's what you want, right? That's what I'm hearing. I hear crashing waves of the ocean. You want me in Hawaii, right? And he's like, no, I want you in Zimbabwe. Who knows? But a lot of times we miss out on we don't know the appointments have already happened. And we can go through our life, and I can go through my life and look at all that has happened and all that's going on. And we can look at Moses' life and look at all that happened and all that was going on in his life. And he did not look at life and go, I know what I'm supposed to do. God had to put divine appointments in his life to do something great. God had to make things happen, but he had to be obedient. One of the toughest things of being a Christian is being obedient to what God asks you to do. You get in life and God asks you to move, or God asks you to change your life, or God asks you to share the gospel, or God asks you to be faithful and to give, or to pray for your child, or whatever it is, and you get to this point and you just aren't obedient. And you miss out on the appointment God had intended for you. My final point that I want to talk about a little bit tonight is a lot of times our appointments are tipping points. And what I mean by tipping point is I may be 6'9", but I am scared to death of heights. It's not funny. I'm vulnerable and you laugh at me? I am. I'm scared of heights. I don't fit in most roller coasters. I was at Elitch's about 10 years ago, and we were going through the corkscrew of what's the big one that's screaming something. Yeah, this winder of some sort. And I'm going through, and they come up on those real thick poles, and I had to tuck, there it is, my foot in because I almost smacked the pole. And I was like, I'm done. I cannot stand heights. But I was thinking, how often when I put this in life, do we get to our tipping points in life? You guys know what I'm talking about. You get to the edge of a cliff or top of a building, you do this, and you look. Sometimes you're like me, and you spit, and you go, well, you got to see how far a drop it is. And you get to this point and you lean forward and we get to the tipping point and we know exactly if I lean any farther, I'm going to fall off. And we get to these tipping points in life and God puts a divine appointment and we get to that point and then we back up. See, in our life, we get to these tipping points and God asks us to do one thing, either go all in and fall forward or we step back and miss out. For our life and our tipping, a lot of us are at tipping points right now. Do I believe there's a God? Do I believe that he's going to provide? Do I believe he's going to right this situation? Do I believe he's going to give me a job? Do I believe, whatever we're at these tipping points where God's asking us, saying, go all in. Go 100% in and trust me. And we get to that tipping point and we rock back onto our heels and say, I'm not ready. I'm not going. Moses hit that point. Can you picture Moses as he is going to Pharaoh and telling him about all these plagues that are going to happen? And I mean, he goes to the very first time and tells Pharaoh, you know, let my people go. This isn't going to happen. And Pharaoh goes, no, you know what? You're going to have to provide your own straw now. And we're going to work you harder and you're expected to do more. And the Israeli people are like, Moses, get out. Shut up. You're making life worse for us. And he's at this point, but like, no, this is what God told me. And things get worse and things get worse and things get worse. And he's still pushing forward 100%, saying, this is what I'm told to do. This is what God wants me to do. This is what God wants to do. And then one day, all of a sudden, he breaks through. And Pharaoh just says, get everybody out. God's doing the same thing in our lives, that when we're at this tipping point, God is saying, just go all in. Go 100% in your faith. Trust in who he is. Trust that he's going to provide for you. Trust he's going to love you. Trust that he's your savior. Trust that I'm your father. Trust that I'm your healer. Trust in all these things. And we don't do it. And we rock and we look and we go, that's a great view. But I'm not going in. In our lives, we have to recognize the tipping points and go 100% in for our faith from God. There are some of us that are not 100% in our faith in God. I was there when I started playing basketball and dominating Scott Applegate. I love saying that because it's something I just, sorry, Scott. At that point, I did not know who God was in my life. I did not trust God. I did not believe there was a God. I did not believe he could make a difference in my life. I was living my life. I was doing things well. I was having a great time. I was doing what I wanted to do, and there was just a one day that God said, just go all in, and I was like, oh boy. And it took a lot of divine appointments. It took a lot of God's coaching. It took a lot of people coming alongside of me and teaching me about life and teaching me what I had to do and teaching me how to dive in. For a lot of us in this room, we're at that point. We're at that tipping point, just like Moses, where everything is just going wrong, or everything is not what it should have been, or this is not the life I pictured, or this is not what I wanted to do. And we are questioning God's hand in our life, saying, God, is this what you really wanted? I mean, can you picture Moses when he's walking in back into Egypt, knowing what he's done, knowing his past, knowing who Pharaoh is, knowing what is happening to everything going there? And he walks in full-headed and goes, I'm just going to do what God asked me to do. I'm going to go against the grain. You know, I heard someone say once, if you want to be unlike the culture today, be a Christian. But we as Christians struggle with that. We don't want to go against the grain. We don't want to be different than the world. We don't want to be that way. Because then we stand out. I've come to turn, I stand out wherever I go. That's why I love doing youth ministry. We get in a crowd and they're all, just look for the tall guy. It works. But we're in our lives and we just are not going 100%. Because we haven't trusted him completely. We were at the cliff looking over, looking at how great God is and going, you know what, I'm not going all in. And for a lot of us, we need a push. We need someone to push us off that cliff and go all in. And we need to go 100% for our faith for Jesus Christ. God has put a purpose on every single one of our lives. He has put a reason for everything that has happened in our lives to learn from it. To grow from it. And this may be old news or anything, but maybe it's in a, just let's revisit. God loves you more than anything else in this world. We were just at a desperation conference for the high school, which is amazing. We go to Colorado Springs. You have over 4,000 high school students and junior high students jumping up and down, worshiping, screaming, yelling, playing weird games, but having an amazing time for Christ. And I remember this speaker, his name is Matthew, and he spoke. He's from the LA Dream Center. And he has done an amazing thing there. He, at 16, knew through a divine appointment he was supposed to go start a church in inner city LA. And he started at 20. He said at 20 he started his own church and it failed. He said zero people came 1 week. And he said that's when God put a divine appointment in my life instead I was supposed to go do something else. And he said he was voted into a church to be the pastor because they thought they were getting his father, not him. And he goes and starts this church and he has this ministry and he's grown it to a point where over 750 people are in rehab centers in their program and people are getting reached to. And he was talking about how God speaks to us and how we don't listen and how he has this amazing story of going and just doing what's right. And he's changed his life and the life of other people because he went 100% in. And listening to his story, you get motivated. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go start a dream center somewhere. Or I'm going to go do, you know what, we come back and we're like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what God's asking you to do. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he became your Savior. How often do you celebrate that? How often do you wake up every morning and go, I know who Jesus Christ is and what he's called me to do? It's pretty simple. If you want to know what your calling is, go to Matthew 28. It says we're to be what? Excuse me? I'm interactive. What was that? I like the high school gets it. They're already getting disciples. We're called. You want a calling in life, you're to be a disciple. There it is. You're called to be a disciple of Christ. We're called to be sharers of the gospel, to teach others about Christ. There's nothing more complex about life. He doesn't say you're supposed to do the 15-point step to become a better Christian before you can go and do ministry. I don't read that in the Bible. He says just go make disciples who make disciples. And our call from Christ is to do that, right? Amen. There we go. Amen. Can I get an amen? All right, there we go. I was just making sure you're awake. Now, as we go back and we look at Moses, and we look at the very last thing that comes to his life in Exodus 14, and we go back and look and see where, or Exodus 4, sorry. I want to go back to Exodus 4:18. Moses goes back. It says, then Moses went back to his father-in-law, said to him, let me go back to my own people into Egypt and to see if they are still alive. And he says, go. I wish you well. He recognized his tipping point and said, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to take this action. I'm going to go on and do what I was going to do. When God spoke to my life to move to California, I moved to California. It was an amazing thing. Working underneath Dr. David Jeremiah, I was doing inner city ministry, which is something I'd never done before. I did that for a year and a half. And then, of course, all of a sudden, Scott Applegate's got to call me. Why? It's you who always makes my life different. I don't know if I want to hang out anymore. And he calls me and goes, hey, what are you doing out there? And I'm like, well, yeah, I do youth and I do campuses. No, but what are you doing? I'm like, well, I do youth. And he goes, well, let me ask you something. Pastor George wants to know if he can call you and talk to you about becoming maybe the youth pastor at our church. And I was like, whoa, I just moved here a year and a half ago. And when I did it, I went all in. I ran a moving truck and I moved everything to California. I moved everything. I was like, this is where God's calling me for life. And a year and a half later, he calls me and I'm like, oh. And I think the first thing that came out of my mouth when he told me that, I was like, you know I just moved here, right? And I interviewed process and I went through it and it took about a couple months and then things are going, and Nelson, Pastor George, well, why don't you fly out, and I was already coming to town to see my family and to go see Faith win their first baseball state championship, and he was like, why don't we meet while you're here, and we met, and he was like, we'll meet for 2 days. It's going to be a two-day interview process, and I came here on a Monday morning about 8:30, interviewed with Pastor George for a little bit, went to lunch with Scott and came back, and Pastor George was like, I feel good about this. Are you ready? And I was like, sure. Not like that. Inside, I was screaming, like, oh. But I said, sure, why not? And I took the job. And I moved here it was over 5 years ago now that I've been involved in ministry here. And then an amazing thing happened over 3 years ago. I met my wife. She's hot. She's awesome. I love her. I met her We got married a year and a half ago. My life has totally changed, but I can look back now and go, every single one of those things was a divine appointment that God had intended for me, and I was obedient, and I did what God asked me to do, and it changed the entire course of my life. But I am so thankful for where my life is now. I love my job. I love these kids. I love my wife. Most of the time, I love my dog. Except for when she's eating something. And I would not be here today if I did not listen to what God had instructed me to do and looked at the appointments that God had put in. And I said, you know, I'm going all in, 100%. I'm trusting who God is. You know, a lot of us, we are struggling to go all in for God. We're putting it off. We're not going to do it. You're like, you don't understand what that takes. I understand what that takes. I moved my life twice. I left friends. I left family. I stood outside the culture norm. I became an outcast. I've been there. I've done that. I've seen it. But I wouldn't change what my life has become. And I know Moses probably wouldn't have changed his life and what it became and what he got to do. So I'm going to ask worship team, if you'll just come back up. Will you guys rise with me? Stand. We're going to wrap up. And we're just going to, I want you to think about, celebrate this week. How many divine appointments have you had in your life? I think you can think of a lot of them and know where your life is. But for some of us, we're at this tipping point right now where we need to go all in for God and we need to make that big decision, whether that's changing jobs, whether that's moving, whether that's doing something radical, whether that's going outside our comfort or our norm. We need to do something that God has been prompting us to do and we're putting it off.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.